I just want to ask the sound room, is that thing molded good? Before we get started. I see we got a new one. I apologize for that. I hope it didn't cost you anything. Amen. And if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn on to Psalms chapter 103, Psalms 103 tonight. My family is here. Some of you remember them, some of you are brand new. If you are my children or my wife and child, if you'd stand up, Brooke is not with them. All right, ladies, the men are available, and you heard that hard daddy, Pastor Carter, was preaching about me, if you're thinking about one of the girls, all right? So I have all my boys, they're giants now, and they doubled in size since we were here. Y'all can sit down. Thank you for standing. It is our vacation. We did, I know people have asked me, several people have asked me, we just didn't want to go back to the cold weather. But we have been back and worked a week and come back again. Amen. So we've been the world travelers and putting some miles on vehicles, but we've enjoyed it. We love it here. We love this place. We thank you so much. I feel like I need to be thankful every time I stand in the pulpit, not only for the ability and the opportunity to be able to be behind Brother Carter's pulpit, but also I can't tell you just what you guys have invested in me. The blessing it was for me to be in Bible college here, to be around these men, not just the teachers. So many of you, I can say thank you. The teachers taught me so much, but so many men in the church taught me so many things and blessed my heart with. I grew as a man, just learning different things. I never laid carpet, Brother Hill, before I come here. Amen. And I don't want to anymore. Amen. But I will if the Lord. Amen. Tarries is coming. Amen. But I tell you, you know what a blessing. And I like to say I said thank you so many times for the things that you guys gave me. But thank you so much. When we were looking for a Bible college and we were praying about what God would have us do. It was very, I was not a single man. I was not a teenager anymore. I was a man with a family, and I was looking for a place. I didn't look for a Bible college. I looked for a church that had a Bible college. Amen. And when we found this place, we stumbled upon it. Amen. And we were down here on vacation and just kind of, I did a King James only search, and you can imagine what college came up on the internet. And it was Landmark Baptist College. And we were just a few hours north, and we came down to look at the place. And we came on a Wednesday night, and Pastor Carter did not preach. They had soul winning marathon testimonies. And I looked at my wife after the service. I said, this is the place for us. These people love souls. These people love, they're a good church. It's like our church, but just bigger. Amen. Right where we were at in our home church. And I thank you for what you did, church, for my family. Amen. Not just taught me the Bible, not just taught me what I've learned as far as being a preacher, but I thank you for those children that just stood. They got a good education while they were here. They were taken care of. I don't believe there's ever a place that I could have gone that my family could have got more loved on than they did right here. Amen. And I appreciate that tonight. And I wanted to say that to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't say it enough. Amen. What you've done for us and what you've invested in us, what you've invested financially, and just your care and love for my family. Look at Psalms 103, if you would. Psalms 103, and we've made sure this is secure. And so, Lord willing, it won't come down again. Amen. And Psalms 103 is written by the psalmist David, and we know that I was going to have Colin sing this, but he didn't really want to, and so he didn't have the music, he told me, so amen, Colin. And but psalmist David, these are made to sing, but I mean, there's some good scripture here. There's some things that'll teach us, and one of the things that I believe, if you have a desire, I remember Stephen preaching a message while I was here in Bible college on, if I can get your rathers fixed, I could get you fixed. And I remember him preaching that message just like it was yesterday, and one of the things that I realized at it is my desire. What is my desire? Amen. When we live on purpose and we have a purpose with our lives and we're not haphazardly walking through this life and doing different things, and we're heading for a goal in our life. What is our goal? And here, the beginning of this chapter, that's where I want to kind of, I don't have a title, but I want to just, the beginning of the chapter is bless the Lord. And if I had a goal for my life, and I think every Christian ought to set out with a goal to bless the Lord with their life. It's just, I mean, I want to be a blessing to him. I don't care how he uses me. I don't care what he wants to do with me. I want to bless the Lord, and I want to be a blessing. Listen, and if I'm going to bless the Lord, then I'm going to have to bless God's people too. I mean, there's just some things that have to happen there. And here we're going to look at this chapter, and the writer begins with these things. Let's pray before we begin reading, if you would pray with me. Dear Lord, I thank you for your many blessings. Dear Lord, I thank you for these people. Dear God, I pray that you would use me tonight. I pray that you would use my lips and my body, dear God, that you would just use me to your honor and glory. Don't let me say one thing that you wouldn't have me say. I pray, dear God, you'd use me as your messenger boy to just bring your message that you laid on my heart. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalms 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Listen, tonight, I want to tell you, listen, bless the Lord, oh my soul. The writer starts this thing off, and listen, if we could really get down to the nuts and bolts of the very first verse, he starts out with talking about, I believe David was a saved man on his way to heaven, and he knew it, and he said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." And now, listen, the very first thing that ever blessed the Lord was when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, when I took him as my own, and he saved my never-dying soul. I'm telling you what, it blessed the Lord that moment that I called out upon his name and he took me to be his and I was saved forevermore. Listen, my soul rejoiced. Listen, the rest of me had to figure out how to do that. The moment that I got saved, my soul was saved and I began to bless the Lord inside. But then the writer goes on, he says, "And all that is within me." Listen, my desire is to bless the Lord. And listen, that the whole Christian life is learning how to use this that's not really redeemed yet. Amen. There's going to come a day that the Bible says in a twinkling of an eye, this old body's going to be changed and I'm going to be made like the Son of God. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. But until that day, I'm trying to bring this old body under submission, this heart, these eyes, these ears, my tongue, and bring all those things to the point where they'll bless the Lord. I want all of that. Listen, that's not my message tonight. But listen, the writer said, "My soul, oh, my soul, bless the Lord." Amen. He said that, listen, "Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me." And he goes on, and I want to really get to the point where he says, "Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Do you know, tonight, I really want to preach on and forget not all his benefits. Because if I am going to bless the Lord with all that I am, not just my soul that was saved, I can't forget his benefits. You know, every job I've ever taken in this life, I remember before I came to Bible college, I used to look at the benefit package. What kind of benefits do I get? I mean, you know, most of you, if you were in here and you're honest, if you worked any kind of job, you always look at what kind of benefits they give. You don't want to just know what they pay per hour. Sometimes I would take a job that I didn't make as much an hour because it had good benefits. Listen, think about that just for a second and think about the Lord and what he does for us. Who's got better insurance package than the Lord? He says in this chapter, he can heal all diseases. Yes. Yeah. Listen, there's not one that you got that he don't want you to have. If he wants to get rid of it, he can take it anytime he wants to. I believe we need to get back to old time believing. Listen, I told my wife on the way down here, man, I said, why didn't that lady ask? It was a lady in our church that I love her. God love her, man. I'm like, I wonder if she's gone to the church and asked to be prayed for. I wonder if she's ever been anointed with oil. I wonder if she's ever just put herself and said, God, listen, I've extended all, I've done all I can do. I've given my 110%. Now I'm putting it all on you, God. I'm laying it all down. Listen, I remember a lady in the Bible that had spent everything she had and gone as far as she could. And then she said, if I could just get the hem of his garment, if I could just get to him, listen, an issue of blood that nobody else could cure, nothing else could take it away, but she had faith that took it away. You remember that? That's in the book. It's still the same Jesus. He still has the same power. He hadn't changed a bit. Listen, forget not all my benefits. Listen, it's not just insurance, but I was thinking about a retirement package, and I don't believe that there's a company on this earth that can match the retirement benefits that my Lord and Savior have for us. Amen. And I hear all kinds of things about putting enough money so it don't run out when you get on the other side of retirement. But I'm here to tell you, listen, if you're talking about retirement, it's a long retirement with the Lord. Amen. I want to bless the Lord because, listen, He's going to take care of me. I know He is, and I know He's going to take care of you if you're saved and you're here tonight. But listen, I want to store some things up on the other side. Yes. Amen. It's a lot longer retirement than this side of heaven. Amen. It's going to be a long time thinking about those things. And if you read scripturally, you know, it ain't early on that He wipes away all the tears.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a good time period between those. Amen. And I don't want to be crying those tears. And I want to tell you tonight, listen, He says, forget not all my benefits. He says, what about vacation? Well, I tell you, I'm on vacation tonight. Amen. You might not know what that means, but as a preacher, I'm on vacation. Amen. Getting to preach at Landmark my third time. Amen. That is awesome. In the last 2 weeks, I'm on vacation. This is a blessing to my soul. You might not believe it, but I'm here to tell you, listen, there is nothing better on this planet to do what God called you to do. Not anything better. There's nothing else. Disney World doesn't have anything that compares. Amen. I couldn't go to SeaWorld and get anything. Shamu wouldn't do anything for me. Amen. I'm here to tell you, I could go down to Universal and to Hulk. I could Hulk him out, but I'm here to tell you, He's got nothing to show what it's like to be behind the pulpit and doing what God called you to do if you're a preacher. I'm here to tell you, man, there's nothing else. There's no vacation like having vacation with Jesus, amen, and being with Him and doing what He wants you to do. There's no vacation. I'm here to tell you, there's no, listen, stock. I know how these companies got stock options. What's better than being a joint heir with Christ? Everything that's His, He said He's going to make me a joint heir with Him. There's no stock option that's going, they can't match it. There's nothing else in this world. And I'm telling you, I beg you tonight, church, listen, bless the Lord with your life. All that's within you, your soul, your never dying soul, but don't forget His benefits. Because listen, you know what happens? We get caught up in the everyday, mundane, honky-dory of this world, and we go around and we walk and we talk and we get influence and we ride today, and I look at somebody's got a better truck than I do, or I look at somebody's got a newer truck than I do, or I look at somebody's got a better house, somebody's got a better car, and I get caught all up in everything of this world. Sometimes we get caught up in the interest of the world. God help the television shows that the world watches today. Man, I'm here to tell you, I don't even have to sit and watch one. If I can watch a commercial, I was like, who would want to sit and watch that? I saw a commercial for Dancing with the Stars. What? Amen. I see some of you looking because you probably watch it. But I'm here to tell you, listen, amen, listen, Dancing with the Stars. I don't even know what it's about other than, man, I tell you, listen, there's nothing I want to do with that. Why would you sit for hours and watch that? I hear people say, well, why'd you watch a NASCAR race and I'm going around and around? I'm agree with you. Listen, I want to see the last lap, amen, and the wrecks. Replay the wrecks, amen. But come on. But I'm here to tell you, you know, we get caught up in the everyday things of the world. We get drawn in and we forget the benefits of the Lord. We forget, man, I need to be blessing the Lord with my life because of what He's done for me. And the writer of the psalm here, David, he, under the inspiration of God, begins to list off some of the things that he thought were benefits. I mean, he starts right off, man, with look in verse number 3 with me. He says, "For who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Man, we could park right there, and if you never did anything else for us, that would be enough to bless the Lord with the rest of your life. He gets on later in the chapter, and my preacher, my founding preacher of our home church, man, he used to all the time get on this verse, man. He would talk about, as far as the east is from the west. You don't, I don't think we understand how scientific that is, but listen, there's no East Pole and there's no West Pole. There's a North Pole and there's a South Pole. And if you get heading north, sometimes you'll reach a pole and you'll be headed south again. But you can head east as long as you want to, and you'll never, ever be going west. It won't ever happen. And if you head west, you can head west until your heart's desire, and you'll never be heading east. And that's how far. I don't understand everything, but God tried to put it down in some farm boy language so that I could understand that, listen, if I even wanted to get at my sins, I could never get to them. If anybody else ever wanted to get to them, the old devil, if he wanted to dig them up and he wanted to bring them up, listen, he couldn't get to them because he's put them as far as the east is from the west. Listen, I'm glad today that I'm not only saved, but all mine iniquities are gone. There's other churches churches that teaches you can lose your salvation. They tell you that you're saved up until the point that you got saved, then you got to work it out. That's some crazy talk, I'm here to tell you. How are you going to see that, boy? And I guarantee you they don't teach it from Hebrews chapter 6. Because if they taught it from there, they would say that, listen, it doesn't just say that you could. I wish somebody would teach that. They would teach you could lose your salvation and then you could never get it back again because nobody would ever listen to them. It says it's impossible. Impossible to do that, to ever get it back. Listen, I serve a risen Savior who died for all my iniquities and paid them all when I asked him for it. I didn't understand it. I didn't know all of what I was getting, but woo, I got saved. And man, he changed me from the inside out. And man, I want to bless him with everything that I am. Man, I tell you what, if you're not excited tonight because you got saved, listen, well, I want to get excited. You know what it's from? Because I forgot all his benefits. Because the first and very one that I could get excited about and stay excited about, that I got saved. That he forgave all my iniquities. That he didn't just do some of it. Think about how crazy it would be. Think about an airplane. I heard this, you know, this illustration, and I think it's real good. If Jesus was a pilot and he was flying us to heaven in this journey of life, and he took off and got us to 40,000 feet, and he said, "This is Captain Jesus. I got you to 40,000 feet, and now you guys are going to have to keep yourself up here." And all of a sudden, the floor opened up, and pedals come up out of the floor. And we all had to start pedaling as hard as we could pedal to keep that thing in the air. That's what it would be like if we had to keep our salvation. Amen? I couldn't do it. I watched one of these guys running up the side of the road today about die. I told Sherry, I know CPR, but I need to drive faster. Because I saw he had that little tight suit all unzipped. And I was like, don't look. I'm afraid he's going to pass out and I'll have to do something. Amen? I'll have to help him. Amen. Amen. Help yourself. Here we go. Amen. Amen. Who forgiveth all mine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Boy, I tell you, if God's people would just get back, I know that God uses doctors. I know that he uses pills. I know that he uses those things. But boy, if we could just really have faith in him. I think we've left. We've gone a long way off and we've trusted everything else but him. We put more faith in Blue Cross and Blue Shield than we do our Lord and Savior. He's good enough to get us to heaven, but I don't think he can take care of the simple ailments of today. God help us. Church, we don't need to just keep the world at arm's length. We need to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stay close to him and trust him. You know that one of the things that upset me when I first got married, my wife's going to be upset with me for telling this. I got married, preacher, and I wanted her to trust in me. I didn't want her to trust in daddy anymore. Amen. And I was driving about 30 minutes. Now, I've been married. Anyway, so I was working 30 minutes from there, and she had a flat tire. Now, I should have been glad. I was a newly married man, and I wanted to take care of my wife. She had a flat tire. She called her daddy. Her daddy come and put that tire on there and took care of it and sent her on her way. And I got home and found about it. And I was like, I was supposed to take care of that. I'm your husband. You didn't even call me. And he come and put a tire on that. I was mad as fire and sin. And he did something good for me. And I was upset because, listen, it was something I wanted to take care of. It was something I had the ability to take care of. And she called her dad. Listen, you know, now I've been married a while. And I'm like, why don't you call your dad? Amen. You know how, hey man. But you know, a lot of times, you know, I wonder how many things that if we had just taken it to the Lord, how many times that we try to work it out ourselves and he's sitting back there, I wish they'd have just asked me. I wish they'd have just called on me to take care of that. I could have taken care of it like that. I desired to take care of that for them. I wanted to help them with it. But they never looked my way. They never called out my name. He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction in verse 4? Have you ever wondered where you'd be at if you didn't have Jesus in your heart? Have you ever wondered? I'm here to tell you, I've said it here before, but I came from a family that would rather fight than eat. I come from a family on, and we weren't on the wrong side of the tracks. We lived way away from that side of the tracks, and we were on the wrong side, amen. And my dad was 28 years old before he first heard the clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, when I remember watching the change in my dad. I remember how just getting saved and how his language changed. and how he wanted to bless the Lord with his life and with everything that he was. That all he had been living for and everything that made the world go round, man, all that had drifted away. And it didn't mean anything anymore. My dad had a business, and he was trying to make that thing go. And my dad had character and was a hard worker. But when he got saved, the business was secondary to the needs of God's church and God's work. My dad was a trash man. He had several trash trucks and picked up trash. And he was, I still remember the very first thing he did. He went up and said, "Look, preacher, I'll take care of the trash around here. You don't got to worry about that. You call whoever this company is and get rid of them. I'll take care of the trash around here. I'll haul it off." Then my dad said, I work on my own trucks, you know, and I see you were out here wrenching on this church bus late last night. Preacher, I'll make sure the buses run on Sunday. I'll take care of that." I remember laying under buses. I remember going and getting buses out of the middle of town with a chain on the back of Dad's truck and dragging them home. I remember holding the brakes when my dad bled the brakes out in a bus. You know, I'm so glad that God changed my life. I don't know where I would have been headed. I don't know where my family would have been headed if it hadn't have been for Jesus and him coming into my dad's heart, into my mommy's heart, and into my heart and changing my life. I don't believe that my family would be sitting in church tonight, suited up, smiling, and enjoying themselves near as much. God could have still done it. But I'm here to tell you, listen, if he hadn't come into my dad's heart and changed us, man, I could have had a life of destruction. I could be up here giving a testimony, not preaching, about all the woes of my life and about how God reached down and touched me and pulled me out of the gutter. Listen, God saved me out of all that. He took care of my daddy, then he kept me in church, and he saved me. I have a good godly heritage because of God, because God reached down, because other people, listen, good godly people decided they wanted to bless the Lord with their life. And on a Thursday night, the assistant pastor of our church came by my house and listen, my daddy gripped the pew on that Sunday morning that he visited the church, and he didn't want none to walk in the aisle. But that Thursday night, that man came by my house and won my daddy to Christ, and my daddy bowed his head, and God changed him. He was never the same. Because of what Jesus did in his heart. Listen, he saved my life from destruction. Listen, if you're saved tonight, he saved you from some destruction. He said, "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy." I need to speed up tonight, but I want to say here, listen, if there's anything good in you and there's anything good with me, if anybody can see that I'm a Christian, it's because the Almighty God crowneth me. He works on the inside out, and he puts some loving kindness in my life. I am not by nature good. I am not by nature. If I had the human nature, I'd be saying me first and everybody else last. And let me pull somebody else off the ladder so I can go one rung higher. Listen, loving kindness comes from an Almighty God that wants us. Listen, I want to push people higher than me. I want my kids to be so much closer to God. I want to launch them off. I want to put them on my shoulders and climb as high as I can get before the end of this life so that they know. Listen, I want to get as close as I can to God, but if I can launch them a little closer, that's my desire. That's what I want for them more than anything else. I don't want them to be as close as I am. I want them to be even closer. And I want to be a diving board to springboard them on closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be all that I can be for them tonight. Listen, he says, "In tender mercies, God is so merciful, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Listen, he said that, listen, he satisfies, he takes care of us. Listen, friend, I don't know any of you. This same David said he had never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. And I want to tell you tonight, listen, in my life, listen, he's always taking care of me. If I seek and doing his will and I'm after blessing the Lord, listen, I might not have everything. I might not have what I want to eat, but I've never missed a meal, friend. I've never come to a place where I was empty. The cupboards were bare, that he didn't fill them up, or that he didn't have somebody come by the door and make sure. Sometimes he didn't just go on to the place where he'd feed me with good things. Man, he'd give me what I want beyond my needs, but give me the best things and take care of me because he loves me. Listen, so that I could go tomorrow and fly like an eagle for him, so I could bless his name the next day. Listen, he takes care of us. Now, listen, I don't know about you. I'm not one to look down the road and figure out how many meals I got left, but I just keep glad that there's one on the table when I get home, and I'm going to go to work the next day. And if there's, I want to pray for my daily bread. I want to stay with him. But listen, that's blessing the Lord. If I worry too much about tomorrow, I can't worry about today and what God's doing for me today. Listen, today is important. And my dad, if that soul winner hadn't worried about, if he had worried all about what was going to go on, maybe he had taken a side job or some other thing or worried about something else. But on Thursday night, more than anything, he was worried about the soul of a Parsons man that was down in a trailer park, and he came and knocked my door and won my daddy to Christ. Listen, bless the Lord with your life. God help us tonight. Listen, more than anything else, we ought to bless the Lord. We ought to want it. Do you want it tonight? Do you want to bless the Lord with your life? Is it really what you want? Yeah, this Sunday night, Brother Barry, we're in church where we ought to be. Listen, I grew up in church. And I know some people that be here no matter what. And they weren't always looking for what the preacher was going to preach. Sometimes they came with their critique sheet. Rather when their blesser open, waiting to be able to, trying to fill their cup up so they could be a blessing. Help us. That's how we are sometimes. Amen. You know what? Bless my heart. I want to tell you, and I meant to tell us at the beginning, and I'm not bragging on anybody. I'll say this. One of the things that helped me through Bible college, changed my life, to be honest with you. Just, I mean, really worked on me in my prayer life. I was in this bathroom back here, this men's bathroom, and I took my boy back there. It was Caleb. He was just a tiny thing, probably 5 years old when we were first here. I think it was the first or second year we were in there. And Brother Hartwig was in the bathroom. And he called my boy's name out. He said, "And how are you doing today, Caleb?" And Caleb says, "How do you know my name?" Brother Hartwig says, "Because I pray for you every day." And he didn't say it like, you know, "I pray for you every once in a while." It broke my heart. In the bathroom, tears started running down my face. Because I thought, man, that brother prays for my family. And he started to name off my family. Every one of my children. Church, bless the Lord with your life. You say, that doesn't mean anything. Listen, that meant everything to me that day. It still means everything to me that somebody would pray and call my name out in prayer so that I could still continue to bless the Lord with my life. Look on with me, if you would, here. He says, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Listen, that's great. I'm here to tell you that there's going to be some saints during that tribulation period that, listen, and you can help yourself, and you say, "Well, I don't know if they're Muslim. Like, they might be Catholic Muslims. I don't know what they're going to be. Amen. I ain't going to be around to find out." But, they're going to be something, because there's some group, there's only one group that I know that behead people and that talks about in the end times, and they're going to take heads. And I'm here to tell you, listen, he says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. That means, listen, even in our day and age, listen, if somebody oppresses one of God's people and leans on us wrongly, it's God's going to get that, take care of that. God's going to do the revenging. God's going to take care of it. I just need to keep blessing the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what you're trying to teach me today, but man, let me go on. Pastor Carter was talking to me about one of those very instances today. Listen, I'm here to tell you, God is the justifier. God is going to take care of it. And one of the greatest benefits that you and I have is that I don't have to defend myself. In high school, I was one of those jockey teenagers, you know, but I had the biggest glasses you ever did see. I mean, I had Coke bottle bottoms until my mom finally went out and got me some contacts and helped me along with that. But I mean, as a 9th and 10th grade boy, I had these great big Coke bottle bottom glasses, and I was walking around the hallway, and I had started on the football team, and I had friends on the football team, and I was walking down the hallway, and this kid just knocked my books everywhere in the hallway. And I thought, here we go. You know, and I had been in middle school and it had happened, and I had to defend myself, you know, a couple times. But you know what happened that day? I didn't have to defend myself. That boy had been picking on me, but he decided today was the day we were going to fight. He knocked my books everywhere, and I turned around ready to go about a few rounds anyway, at least till somebody broke it up. And this big senior boy grabbed him right by the back of the neck and picked him up off the ground. He said, "Is this boy messing with you, Barry?" I was on the football team. I was the middle linebacker for the varsity team in my 10th grade year. And this was my defensive end. He was a huge guy. He just picked this kid up off the ground. He said, "I'll take care of this," and went in the bathroom. And I have no idea what happened in there. Okay? But that kid never messed with me again. Never. Never knocked my books out of my hands. Never talked to me. I don't even know if he lived through that. I don't know if I seen him again. But I can tell you this, you know, I could have gone 3 or 4 rounds with him, but what happened was a blessing to me. I didn't get any bruises, and listen, somebody stepped in and fought for me. And listen, every time in my life that that's happened with God, it's always been better. I'd rather him defend me than me defend myself. I'd rather he take care of, listen, I'd rather be oppressed than let God come in and take care of the justifying of that situation than me to try to defend myself. Listen, I'm here to tell you, God has some benefits. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel, and he's still doing it. David's writing this, and he's looking back. Listen, we got a whole book of the New Testament, several books jammed in together there to tell us all about more acts, and got one called the book of Acts, amen, to tell us all about what God's been doing in the New Testament. And some of us got testimonies in our lives of how God is continuing to work and how he's blessed us and how he's worked things all out to hit for our good and for his glory. And I'm here to tell you tonight, listen, God has some benefits. He not only has those benefits, it says that he says he made known his ways unto Moses. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And I know I preached on this last time I was here, but I think it's ever important for us to remember that he's coming back, and that he's not going to be gracious and merciful forever. There's going to come a day when the judgment hand of God, he has had enough, or the last person gets saved, however you want to say it, and he is going to be reenacted. He's going to get back together with Israel and get back on track with them, and this church body is going to be gone if you're saved, and you're going to be with him in heaven. Amen. I'm here to tell you, listen, I look forward to that day, but the earth is not going to look forward to that day, because God's anger, he is righteous. That verse that says righteousness and judgment, listen, that's all binding up in his anger. And listen, he's not going to hold that forever. There's coming a day. The reason that we need to bless the Lord is, listen, the reason I can bless the Lord today is because somebody believed Jesus was coming again. And they thought it enough not to put off one more week to come by my house and want me to Christ. Listen, I wonder how many other kids, boys, girls, bus routes, Sunday school kids, adults, people that have sit in the pews in here, have visited but gripped the pew one more service. How many of them need us to come by and bless the Lord one week? Just to come knock another door and to give them another opportunity to receive it. 90% of the people, I believe, listen, don't accept the first time they hear it. They do not, listen, they're trying, they really believe it. I can tell you, my dad believed that if he had trusted Christ that morning, he believed that if he had walked out, stepped out, that he would have been saved. But he wouldn't humble himself as a child and come down to the front. He wouldn't humble his heart and step out and walk the aisle. Listen, God, I would to God that we would bless the Lord enough to just, man, we would just be on fire and realize that, you know, it's not just enough that I'm saved. God wants everybody to be saved. He saved me, and he would have taken me home if he didn't want me to be after somebody else. He would have said, listen, I know I'm preaching at the choir because you taught me all this, but I'm here to tell you, listen, God loves us. God loves us, and he loves us so much to leave us here and let us work for him. He loves us so much that he wants to see us. Listen, the happiest times in my life, I'm here to tell you, the greatest rejoicing, some of you that were just on the Soul Winner Marathon would say amen to this, when you get to watch another person accept Christ for the very first time and see the joy and the happiness on their face, it's worth every minute that you put in it. It's worth everything. It's worth your life when you see someone else come to eternal life. I'm here to tell you, listen, Jesus is worth serving. Jesus is worth, he says, I have not, he said, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I want to tell you tonight, one of the greatest benefits is God, listen, he does not reward. I'm not going to catch rewards, and I preached it last time I was here, but it is a great benefit that God is never going to deal with me for my sin or my iniquities. I'm going to be rewarded for this life and everything that I do to bless the Lord in this life. He loves me. He says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, I can't imagine. Scientifically, we could go on, and I don't even really believe that he's talking about our heavens or even the heavenlies, if you will, with the stars. I believe it says the heaven. I believe he's really putting some distance on us here. He's talking about where he resides, where the throne of God is. He's saying, listen, as far as that is above the earth, that's how great God's mercy is towards us and towards all people. He wants everybody to be saved. Tonight, church, I want to just say this. I want to say, he says in that last verse, in verse 13 that I read, he says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know, sometimes I've been trying to preach and encourage you. I don't know if you know what preaching is, but you're trying to preach to a point. You're trying to get people to make a decision. If you don't, listen, you're preaching, you're trying to help them to come to a place where they choose to do what the Lord said. Not what I said, but what His book said. And tonight I'm trying to get you to come to a place that you make a decision to bless the Lord with your life, or to start blessing the Lord again, or to bless Him a little more, take another step of faith out closer to Him. I'm trying to make you to make a decision, because I thought about this verse today, and I thought about my children and I went to Downtown Disney, and my little daughter, Gracie, wanted to ride the escalator. Amen. You know, and I was telling her, it's an alligator, it's going to bite your feet off and everything, and I was messing with her, you know. And so we had walked past it, and we were way past, but we went back because she wanted to ride it. Now, that's a cheap ride, friend, okay? Yes, sir. Amen. I'll ride that one all day. It don't scare me. I don't get sick. Amen. So we went over there, and we got on the escalator, and we went up. And we went up just to come back down so we could get on to the next thing. And when we made it to the first set of flight, she took off. Amen. She listens like her mom sometimes. And she took off running, and she was running around getting on that escalator again. I said, whoa, 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 honey, come back. Gracie, whoa, 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 whoa. And she had gotten on the first couple steps of the next escalator, and then she realized that, you know, it finally clicked that God didn't, you know, Daddy didn't want her on that thing. And so she tried to get off. But they ain't as easy to get off of as they are to get on. And she took a couple steps and got tripped up because she had those sandals on. I don't know why people wear them things, but she just got tripped all up, got hung up on it. And she, you know, those things, she had a nice little dress on, but man, that thing was jagged. And it something that wouldn't have hurt her, really. But you know, when she fell down on it, it scuffed her knees all up. I mean, she just fell one little step. And that thing cut her knees all up and hurt her up. And I thought, and you know, even though she had done wrong, and even though I was trying to take care of her and get her off of it, trying to help her up, I pitied my child. I was brokenhearted because she had cut her legs up, because she had fallen, and because she had hurt herself. Even though I didn't tell her to go there, it wasn't okay for her to go there. It wasn't where I wanted for her. She wasn't waiting for direction from her father. You know, she had just run ahead a little bit. Just a little farther ahead of me. And I just called her back. But you know, this verse says that like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So one of the greatest things we can learn is to fear the Lord. Fear him enough to realize that, man, he is a great God that has great benefits. And that one day he's going to bring great pain upon this earth. And that there's not one enemy, not one person that we ever want to see in that. And listen, just like that, listen, think about our struggles of trying to be close to him. Struggles to try to bless him. And we do right and we do wrong, and he pitieth us. Just the way I hugged my girl and picked her up and rubbed her and took care of her. I mean, we were trying to wipe her legs up and clean her up, and we were just getting there for the day. You know, usually that's when you get knocked down, when you got all kinds of gusto and you're ready to go all day, and you get knocked down right at the beginning. So many times in the Christian life, listen, or when we start something new, man, something will come along and knock us off our feet. And if we're not determined to keep our eyes on the Lord and to know that He loves us and let Him wipe us up and clean us up and put us back on our feet and tell us we're going to have a good day, it's all right, it's all over, let's get back to work, let's get back to what we were doing. Listen, tonight,